You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
The Lord has been speaking to me continuously. And so I just give thanks to God for the opportunity to stand here today and to share with you what He has shared with me. I saw myself in a dream, and I've heard the music in the background, and it was Thank You, Jesus, the song that God gave Jeremy this morning. And so the word, a prophecy, was coming forth as that word was being sung and played. And so I was sitting there, and I said, boy, all of them left and put the instruments away, but I am going to open today with the word from the Lord, a prophecy that God gave me back in January. And I thought, because I was not able to bring it in January, I said, God, is it old? Is it out of date? Is it unuseful now? And He said, my word is always fresh. And He said, but what will happen is that it's the first of the second quarter of the year. So we pass through the first quarter, which I will explain, because I have four categories this morning and one for each quarter. So thank you, Natalie, for the prayer. And I am full because 16 months ago, I entered a challenge which I knew not of and never expected. I expected my life after retirement to just kind of breeze along and have all the time with God that I wanted. And it started that way. I was always in His Word and receiving messages by bullets from Him, and just thought, this is life. This is living. I worked 55 years, well, till I was 55, I retired at 55. And I thought it was an honor that God gave me, because I got a message, a prophecy, 20 years before that, and said, you will retire at 55 and work full time for the Lord. And I looked and I said, you got to be kidding. I got two daughters to put through college, and I got a house to pay off before retirement. So how could that be? But we know, just like God, God is God. And so I was living the life of easy. And as all of us know, we have challenges from time to time. Some we expect because of situations, others we don't. But one thing God told me at that time, He said, get a journal just for this challenge, and I will take you through each step. You will grow, you will mature, and you will come out much stronger than you are going in. And I said, but at 82 years old, I thought I was strong. But God knows when He's building each one of us what we need at a specific time, when we need it, how much we need, and He directs our path. He said, lean not to your understanding, Verna, because you really don't have any. But ask me, Verna, because I am your total source. And couldn't you, Verna, expect me to direct everything in your life? Well, let me do it. And I put my journal down, open it on my desk, and the first day I started writing, because nuggets was dropped, experiences started. But I can say, after 16 months, whether it's 8 years, 10 years, 17 months, whatever, I am ready for the journey to continue. So I speak to you this morning as the Lord unctioned me, that gear up your body that I have made, and I have directed and instructed and outlined each day of your journey. I have purpose each minute of your life. I was there when you were formed in your mother's womb. And think it's not strange that something goes out of order in your understanding, but it's in my order, in my understanding. So it's not strange. It is not out of order. It is within my order. And these 12 months that you are entering into in January is a time that you have never experienced or seen or could imagine. Because the whole world is being affected. It's global. It's not local. It's not just in your home. It's not just in your church. It's just not in your city or your state or your country. But it is global. And when you feel the effects in your home, check globally. When you feel the effects on your job, check globally. When you feel the effects in retirement, check globally. Because I am all-consuming God. I am all-present God. I am all-everywhere God. I seize it all. I planned it all. I know it all. And your steps are ordered by me, says the Lord. I am happy this morning because in the challenge, I can still sing, I can still dance, I can still lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From the depthness and the deepness within, I truly thank the Lord this morning. Because he is the one that has ordered my steps. He has directed my steps. And he is carrying me at some points because I can't even walk. Amen. That old proverb that talks about, oh, I can feel him, I can hear him, but God, there was a time I only saw one set of footprints. Where were you? Did you leave me, Lord? He said, oh, no, it was so weak and such a bad time. I had to carry you. So when you feel out of it, frustrated, he is carrying you. You no longer have the strength to walk. I think about Bob here, who met many challenges the last couple of years with his health. And I'm sure God was carrying you at that time. But because God was carrying him, he was in perfect hands. You are this morning. You are in God's hand. That's why now when frustration comes and it comes, when disappointment comes and it comes, I just step back. Step up and look over and see the hand of the Lord. I step back where I can remember who is guiding my steps. I step up to see the whole picture. And I look over to see God directing the whole process. So we're going to look at three things this morning that God gave me. Four. In this walk, in this area of every prophet has mentioned the word doors. And I think the one that captivated me, open doors. I think Sidney Jacobs was the one, first one said that, but I can't remember now because I've read so many. But God had given me a slew, as they would say, many doors in a vision. And they were colorful doors, different colors. And that there was a long line, and I saw so many people from the bridge in that line approaching the doors. But then I saw this bridge that was over a lot of water, and it looked like the bridge that was destroyed in Baltimore, because it was really strong. It had really purpose structure and was built well. But I saw that line of people crossing over the bridge, moving toward all of those doors. And so God said to me, doors opening. Each person have a door. Entering into this year, you have a door or doors that you are approaching, that you have in view. And so in keeping with the doors, and then I added the walking. Because if you don't walk, and if you don't continue walking, you will never reach the door to open or to walk through the one that has been opened. If you stop, if you slow down, if you sit down, if you hang your head in tears and disappointment, you will never reach the door that God has opened for you to walk through. And so, the first point was walking in the direction of the doors. If you can't see or visualize a door and it's yours, first of all, you're not going to even start walking, because you don't have any purpose to walk. You don't have any reason to walk. And so in Proverbs 1:26:5 says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carry seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves. So the tears of joy come after the sowing of tears. Tears are water. Nothing can grow, even if it only needs water. And I have some plants in the house only water once a month, some once a week. I got one the other day, and I'm watering it daily. But the water has to be applied to the soil to bring the nutrients into the plant. And so you don't get the results of what that plant is, the beauty, fruit, whatever it will produce, without the tears, without the water. And God said to me, Verna, every tear that you will shed in this challenge is like nutrients to you as a plant. And so I look at the tears of joy being nutrients to continue to feed me, to grow me, to develop me, and to strengthen me. So I want you to look at your tears this morning as water and nutrients to become back into you as a vessel of God. So, walking, approaching the door, walking in its direction, that's the first step. You have to have it in view. You have to know where you're going. You have to have a goal. When you accept the Lord, you know what you expect. You know why you believe. You know why you are serving the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Didn't nobody force you. You accepted after you were extended the invitation to come and be his child, to let him lead you. You knew a direction you were going in. You could see it. You knew. You didn't just say, okay, and then didn't know what you were doing. And so Jeremiah said, it was good that I was alone, because when you're walking, sometimes, most times you are alone. You've been walking the first quarter of 24, the year of the doors, but the decade of war. We're in a decade of war. It's always present. It's in your mind. It's in your spirit. The scriptures talk about the war. And so we are in this whole decade from 20 to 30 in a war. But in the year of 24, it's the door in the war. You are approaching the door. You see the door. You imagine it. But guess what? While you're walking, whether it's across a bridge, whether it's through the forest, wherever it is, there are times when you are alone. And this scripture, absolutely go to bed with me. When Jeremiah said, it was good that I was alone. It was good that I was alone. Do you know when you're alone with God? When you're alone, I told my sister this week, we were sharing some things. I said, I just can't even imagine with this challenge where I would be without God. And we all, and I know as I prayed for Bob, it was like if he didn't have God, he would be a goner. And many of you, including me, would have been a goner. Because I wouldn't have had anything to hope for, to look toward, to believe in. But I said to my sister, I said, you know, the challenges get tougher and tougher, but I get stronger and stronger. So tough, so alone. But when you're alone, you're in a place that nothing disturbs you. You are centered in on the only thing that can accompany you and can walk you through it. And we as children of God know that God is the one. I don't care what I face, how frustrated I get. Sometimes I yell and I get settled and I say, but God. But think it not strange that you feel alone. Jeremiah said it was good. He learned so much being alone. He learned so much being lonely. I learned so much when I can only turn to God and not say, let me get on the phone and see what this person will tell me. Let me pick up a book and see what this person's testimony is about. Oh, but when I can say, God, this is Verna. I need to hear from you. So John was great. Jeremiah was wonderful. Sarah in her disappointment. But God, this is Verna. I'm walking and I am alone. But I know that you are here with me. And so walking alone bring isolation. Sometimes it's good to be isolated. You don't get all those inputs. You're so open to God's input. You're so open to hearing from Him. You're so open to expecting and needing and know you need Him. I don't need Sherman to answer the phone. I say, oh, she's not there. She's busy. But God is never busy. He's always there. I don't care how many jobs a person has to go to, how many boardrooms they sit in, how many important calls they get. God just never gets too busy to talk with you. And so welcome the isolation and the loneliness. And think about Jeremiah, and he knew what it was to be alone. And the second step, now you've been alone. You've been walking alone by yourself. And you see in a distance the door. So you're approaching the door. What is your experience approaching it as you get closer to it? Did you ask God this year for a specific door? Are you asking God for specific things? Are you asking God for that new job? Are you asking God for the resources to take care of this in your family budget? I have a granddaughter finishing high school, one finishing college, and then I have two nieces that are finishing high school. And let me see, I thought it was the fifth one. And I said, oh, this is going to be a bumper year. Boy, I got to give out money like mad. And then God opened up an opportunity when I told him what I wanted to do for each one. And it was a check of some dividends, something that came in that covered that. And I just looked, I said, I didn't even expect it. But that is like God. You don't have to try to plan. He said, lean not to your own understanding. Some things you just can't plan. You got to give it to him whether you like it or not. You got to say, God, this is so out of my arena that I can't even begin to plan towards solving it. The medical field haven't found an answer. All the research and the money that has been devoted to cancer research, they still haven't come up with anything. And I give to the Cancer Foundation every year. They still haven't. But guess what? God is still healing supernaturally cancer. So that's where my resource is. When the doctors say, I really don't know what to try now. I don't know what to do. And they don't know what to do. They're not pulling your leg. They don't know. Their knowledge goes to the point that God allows through the research or whatever, but God knows it all. It's like he got this big giant book, and it's already there, and you flip it. This is the answer. Acknowledge him. And so looking at the doors, and you are approaching the door, in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Trusting in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. But in everything, all your ways, not the big things. You don't have to wait till cancer come to acknowledge him. But a headache, I said, Lord, I didn't have headaches until 2 years ago. I went through college. I went through everything in corporate world, where you were supposed to just pop pills because of the intensity of some projects and people you were dealing with. I never had a headache. I thought something was wrong because everybody, my roommate in college, she had those splitting headaches. My sister-in-law had to go to Mayo Clinic with all kind of research and everything. Her headaches were so blinding, it would hurt her to lay her head on a pillow. And I was saying, I can't even visualize that because I never had a headache. But when I started getting headaches, I knew what the source was. I knew where the root. You need to find the root. Up until this point, no headaches. What happened at this point? Headache. Boom, I got it. So when a headache came, I said, this is what I got to do. I sit there and I do the breathing. I did everything. I gave my doctor. She said, oh, Vern, I'm going to take some of those ideas and give them to other people. I knew how to run a headache out of my sight. Because I had heard of them. I didn't like it when it came on me. I said, I can't deal with this. And I looked at what happened all these years that I didn't have a headache, and what started happening 2 years ago. And I got the root, and I clipped the roots. And I started dealing with that plant that was a headache. And like a dandelion, you don't ever cut a dandelion off at the top. It will be back so quick you think you never cut it off. But when you dig it up, look at the roots and clip them roots, it's gone. No more dandelions. And that's what I said about the headache. So in approaching the door and looking at the door, I knew what I wanted. I had settled in on what the end result's going to be after this challenge. Do you take time to look at what you are experiencing? What has come in your life that is new? What situation? And zero in on that. I refuse now to sit and say, oh, I just can't believe this is happening. Oh, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yes, I do know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the Word of God. And I'm going to operate and perform surgery with His Word. To leave the tools in the box and not use them. Then you continue with the challenge that you have. Because He has given us tools. So you want a new job. What is it you're supposed to do? Natalie said something in a conversation once. I never forgot it. She said, oh, I just pray and pray for people. But there comes a time. God said, wait. The fault isn't in God. So it must be lying with you. Ask God. Search your heart. And say, God, what is it about me today that I'm doing? I haven't gotten a relief here. Because my mother used to say, everything you need is in the Word. And I said, Mama, it didn't say John Doe is a person I'm going to marry. She said, but oh, it does say, do not become unequally yoked. And the Word also says, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, even in dating. And you all heard me say this several times. My daughter was dating a young man in college. I met him. I just said, she'll never marry him. Never. I'm not inviting those problems. I'm cutting it off now. God has told me who He is sending, and I'll know Him when I see Him. Relationship ended. This guy came in. She brought him to church. I was sitting on the end. He crossed over me. I had two seats there. God said, that's her husband. Amen. And God told my sister about her granddaughter when she was looking at colleges. And she said, this is the college. God told, this is the college she should choose. This is where her husband is. It just doesn't get any better. Amen. So right there, she knew out of 12 colleges she applied to and got in all of them, got money. She knew the one she had to go to. Amen. Amen. She said, Nana, I know where I'm going. Mama said, dog, God told her my husband was there. She is going into her freshman year. Knowing that her husband is there. And guess what? She said, I'm bringing him home for you to check him out. Because if I lay my eyes on him, I said, run, run, run. Everyone that I have seen in my family that listened to me, married the person that God gave the check. The others that didn't came running to me. Aunt Verna, I'm so sorry. I just overlooked what you said. Oh, this is happening. This is happening. I said, I told you he wasn't your husband. You went on and married him anyway. Got a divorce. She brought the husband to the guy. They have three children. Beautifully married. A life for God. But she had to go that way because she had her own directions. It is wise when you have something in view, like the door you're supposed to go through, is to acknowledge God and let Him direct you. Those doors are not just to say, I flip through this one and this one isn't the right one, I'll go through another one. You can go through the right one the first time. My mother was home praying, and I was in high school for my husband. I went off to college, met him, took him home for her to meet him. She said, that's him. She said, he'll be a good husband, he'll be a good father. You won't have to worry about him hopping from job to job. She went down the list. He never was without a job. He worked to 80 years old. In the Internal Revenue with numbers, and they were trying to give him a promotion. He said, I'm not here for a career. I'm here to keep my mind together. I've retired. He retired from three jobs. Three jobs. My mother said, you'll never have to worry about him working. See, we have to, when you acknowledge God, you have to listen to him. Not just do it because the scriptures say it. And I'm ready to go now. Now I can't wait anymore. God must be like Sarah. God must mean for me to send my handmaid in. God didn't say send her in. He said I was going to give you one. What is God telling you today? So when you see something in view, you know you are praying, you're acknowledging God. And then the third one is walking through the door. You have approached the door. And there are some of you all, even the first quarter, and you are standing at the door, not going in, because you want it to look like this. You want it to look like this. You want it to be this. But have you said, God, this is the door you have opened for me. Now, what do I do going through, and what do I access when I get through the door? Because if you just go in the door and sit there and do nothing, guess what? You're not going to participate of anything that the door has behind it that you are supposed to participate in, be a part of, partake of it. That's the word I'm looking for. It's already there, but you are there and won't move because it doesn't look like what you thought it would look like. God been trying to get some of your attention from one thing going wrong to two going wrong, three going wrong, and you still say, well, God, I really want this, God. God, are you sure? And you cannot go in another door until you close this one. You want to try 50 doors when God had that door for you to go through. And because it didn't work, I was the first one to tell three people in my family. I said, leave him. Leave her. I said, he wasn't yours in the beginning. She wasn't yours in the beginning. You chose yourself. God didn't choose. You chose. And now you're trying to make it happen. Do you know you cannot make happen what God has already destined not to happen? And you just keep working at it. I told a sister here, I said, let me lay my eyes on him. I met him, I said, he's not yours. You may want him, but that's not from God. So, what are you doing by going through the door, walking through the door? Will you look at the things that God has for you to see? But you're so focused on seeing one thing that God have all these other things. And they are blocked out in your view. Because you are determined to do it your way. Couldn't you accept one word? Lean not to your own little stinking understanding. But ask me, and I will direct your path. And you got the nerve to want direction when you are doing your thing. He said, you ask me, and I'll direct. And so you're going to go through this year and not go through the right door. And if you go through the right door, sit there and not access it and get the things that God have for you, because you went through the door with your own agenda. If it looks like this, I'll take it. If he acts like this, that's a sign. That's your sign. God don't have to give no sign. He is clear. That's one thing I've learned walking with God 50-some years. God isn't confused. We are confused. God makes it clear. Everyone. And I was determined my two daughters was not going to marry who God didn't send. God said when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So why are all these women out here looking for a husband? He said, a man finds the wife. My husband found me. I didn't go looking for him. I went to dances at college. Everybody said, oh, five colleges and university here. Your husband got to be there somewhere. My mama was praying, God, you have the man for Verna. That's who I want her to meet. And after 64 years, we're still together. 64 years. And I'm decreeing that for both of my daughters. They will not have no 1, 2, 3 marriages up in here. And if you do, you still can go back and say, God, now I'm ready to follow you. So it's not over. It's just when you get ready to follow God's direction. And if you never want to follow his, you'll never get where God had destined you to be. Amen. So walking through the door. So in 2024, I want you to remember. That's the fourth one. Remember to look ahead of your struggles. The tears we shed today will bring joy tomorrow. Be like seeds that are planted in a field. My father would plant a crop. I told you, my father was a farmer. And he never had a bad year with a crop, because my mother would go out and drop oil, holy oil, around the outside perimeters of our property and would pray that there would be a good crop. And my father sent all six of us to college, paid off a home, everything with the prayers and the anointing of the oil. Not know, oh, I hope Verna does this. Put prayer behind Verna. Speak decrees over Verna. And that's what I do, and I'm doing with my grandchildren right now. So trust in the time. Through much toil and suffering, will rise to great to greet a harvest of joy and thanksgiving. If you don't embrace your suffering, because see, some suffering is for our own good. But even when it's not and we brought it on ourselves, God's word says he will work all things together for the good of those that are called, that love him and call accordingly to his purpose. So even if they come through the wrong passage, he can turn and work it to your good. So it's never too late to say, oh no, I didn't do this right. I missed it here. I found myself saying once, I don't care what the word says, I got to do this to get her told. God stood up at me and said, and when I get through with you, you'll wish you hadn't. And my little pride left then. I said, I don't have to tell nobody off. Because God just alerted me. When he got through with me, I wished I had left it to him. And see, through these situations and experience, they are for our development, our growth, our maturity. And when you get to a certain point with God, I used to hear my mother say, and I find myself saying that, oh, I don't care. What I mean by that is I've given that to God and I can't worry about it. And every time the adversary tried to bring it to me to worry about it, I cast it back and I said, go to somebody who don't know any better. Because I do and I refuse to receive it from you. I don't care what form you bring it in. And like I said, I am being challenged in an area now that I never would have thought would come to my door. But I'm not lying down and dying there. I am going through the door that I asked God for in 24, and I'm going to access everything behind that door that God has there for me. You can't access the good for holding on to the bad. You got both of your hands full and you're crying before God. Oh, God, help me. God, do this. And he said, release that junk in your hand and I can put good stuff in there. And I told somebody, I had a sister that I told, leave him. He wasn't yours in the beginning. And now, 30-some years later, two beautiful daughters, grandchildren, a life that you would say, look what God did. But if she hadn't released him, she never would have had them 30 years. She would have had 30 years of crying and disappointment and aggravation and frustration. And I think that's what happened to us. We are so set on, oh, God want me to have this. Have you asked him? Does he really want you to have that bomb? My mother said, you'll never marry him. That's what she told my oldest sister. She said, because my prayers, God's going to honor them. And he walked away from her and told her, you were too good for me. I can't mess over you. Let's just go our separate ways. Because God knew she wasn't going to leave him. And he called it off. That's what prayers would do. He told her, you're too good for me. She would have married him if he had said yes. But the prayers turned it. He said, you're too good for me. I can't mess over you. That's supernaturally handled by God Almighty. So don't be so glad your children is getting married. Have you prayed about who they're married, who they're going to meet? Have you seeked God about it? That's when you can rejoice. And so your open doors, I want to leave you with this. Walking towards your door, approaching your door, getting into your door and then going through it. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. What is your walk going to be like with God? Are you going to walk with God and do your own thing and never reap the harvest that he has for you? Because you did your own thing. You know, we can make ourselves feel good by saying, I really believe God wants this for me. You want it so much that you believe it's God putting that in you. And you just overrode God, and God is saying, well, they're going on anyway. As my mother would say, if you got to bump your head, I hope you bump it hard enough where you won't bump it again. I mean, she would pray those kind of prayers. Mabel, if you want to do this, I hope it your head so hit so hard that you'll never do it again. She didn't pray, keep them away from it. Let them bump it. And if it's hard enough, some of you got to be hit so hard that you're laying out before you can believe God is trying to get your attention. So you can go through the right door and sit there, or you can go through the right door and not access what God has for you. Enoch walked with God. His walk was pure, was sincere. He loved God so much so until he just took him on with him. Can you look at that? I said, boy, could I walk with God? That whirlwind would come and I'll just be taken up. I'll have to not even experience death. That's somebody who really trusted God. How much do you trust God? Are you just playing with God, thinking you can get the things you want by wanting it bad enough that you bring yourself into believing God wanted it for you? That's when we are deceived. And so, I want to leave with you today. Are you willing to trust God enough to give it all to him? Are you willing to trust God enough that he will take you through the right door? That he has the right things behind that door for you? Sidney Jacobs said about people are going through the door and just grabbing stuff that they never prayed about. And in the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, it's going to come back home and you're going to say, I thought I had what God wanted. But I can't tell you, because if you're so determined to do your thing, and I tell my kids that, I'm telling my grandkids that, if you are so determined to do your own thing, God will step back. He'll step back and just, he'll be there with you, but he'll let you do your own thing because you're determined anyway. And when you find out it wasn't God, then you'll be willing to say, okay, God, I want to do it your way. I want what you have planned for me. So let's just bow our head. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that in 24, that the doors that you are opening for us, that we will seek your directions. Lord, we will inquire of you. We will not lean to our own understanding. But Lord, we will ask you to direct our path, where we may be where you want us to be, accessing and receiving what you have planned for us. Because God, we know you plan nothing but good for us. You desire that we have the best and taste the best of what you are and who you are. So Lord, I ask you to just touch a readiness in each person's heart to be determined to walk through the door that you have opened for them, where they can grow mature in the joy that passes all understanding will be what they desire and hope for. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.